Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
So what I want to talk about tonight, or this morning, is I'll just call it this, after illumination. After illumination. After you get illuminated, sometimes things happen. Amen. You know, the devil comes to try to get that illumination. And that doesn't mean he always does, but sometimes he does. And you're served well to know that and to know how to stand and to know how to fight and come out with victory. Right. Amen. You know, I told you the story. It was actually Keith Moore when he was an instructor for Rhema. He said this. He said, I had a guy I was teaching. And he said, you know what? He said, I went through the Christ the Healer class and I got sick. He said, I went through the class on biblical prosperity and I went broke. And I went through the class on fasting and prayer and I gained 10 pounds. Well, you know, what does that mean? Well, it means the devil's after the illumination. You learn something and he's after. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, let's don't learn anything because we might get attacked. You don't learn anything, you'll get destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you have what you got to do is learn to do something with what you learned. Amen. And you can have victory. Praise God. Amen. Now, so after illumination, let's talk about this morning. And let's read. Let's just begin here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Paul said, call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you know, enlightened, you received the word. I mean, it's the entrance of the word gives light. You endured a great fight of afflictions. And he says, partly whilst you became a gazing stock, the King James says, or a spectacle, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. Let's stop there just for a minute, because I think it's important for us to know that some of the trials that we face today, they pale in comparison to what some of they faced in that day. You know what I'm saying? The people he's writing to, when they got illuminated, the devil came after them and fought them. And they were sometimes Christians in those days in certain cities. They had outdoor amphitheaters. And guess who the entertainment was? It was the Christians. It was putting them before people and picking on them and doing things to them and harming them. That was part of their sport. And so, you know, I think our little afflictions that we face today pale in comparison to that, don't you? And so, I'm not wishing for that to come back. I'm glad it's not here. But the point is it, you know, even though we may not be facing things like that, we still face attacks. And after we're illuminated, the devil comes to get that illumination. He doesn't want you. See, he knows this, that when you have faith in the Word, his dominion's broken over your life. It breaks his dominion. And so he's going to fight that. How many know he's going to fight that? See, here's the thing about the devil. The devil, he doesn't want you to get born again. But he can't keep you from it. He couldn't keep the madman of Gadara from coming to Jesus to get delivered. And that guy had a legion. A legion was in him. He probably had 6,000 demons in him. And 6,000 demons couldn't keep him from coming to Jesus. Amen. And so, but the devil, if he can't keep you from being born again, which he can't unless you let him, the next thing is he doesn't want you to know what you have and who you are in Christ. And he doesn't want you to know about the nature of your good Father. And a lot of people haven't learned that yet, that God's good. All the time. Right? I mean, he didn't have bad days. Anybody ever, like, a friend of mine, a guy asked him, said, Have you ever woken up grumpy? This is an evangelist friend of mine. A guy asked me, have you ever woken up grumpy? He said, no, I just let her sleep. Well, how many know God doesn't wake up grumpy some morning? Right? You know, He's been blamed for a lot of things, like insurance companies call tornadoes, earthquakes, things like acts of God. And the world thinks it is, but it's not our God. That doesn't mean God's not a judge or never does pass judgment, but everything God does is good. Right? Amen? How many know all the demons are going to end up in hell? Wasn't that bad? No, that's good. You don't want to live with them for eternity, do you? They're in rebellion against God. How many would like to go to heaven and all the demons are there? I mean, they've had all these years to turn. They're still bad. They're not going to. You got that? Right? They're not going to. There's no redemption for them. Now, who wants to live with them throughout eternity? No, thank God they're going to be someplace else. The Bible says God made hell for the devil and his angels. But men, because when Adam's the one that sent us there, how many know that? Amen. His disobedience, and we're not picking on Adam because if it had been one of us, we might have done the same thing. But I'm just simply saying, God, you know, people say, well, God don't believe a loving God would send people to hell. Well, he got them out of there. He sent Jesus to get you out. If you don't take the remedy, then you've sent yourself. Not God. God didn't send you. He paid the way to get you out. God's good. So the devil doesn't want you to know the character of God. Doesn't want you to know God is good, and he's good all the time. He doesn't want you to know what you have in Christ or who you are. He wants to make your life miserable. He does not want you to in any way, shape, at all, resemble the image of God. He doesn't want you blessed. So he will fight that. Now, of course, he's got a lot of people working for him. It's not necessarily the physical devil himself attacking you. You know, like I've told you, one Sunday morning, the children's church, one of the kids thought the literal devil had come to children's church. Because we're doing a skit, you know, about resist the devil, he'll flee from you. James 4:7, just teaching on that scripture that morning. James 4:7, resist the devil. Everything was about that, you know, about James 4:7. And so there was a little skit plan where a guy came in and he had packages and he was dressed like the devil. He had packages of sin, you know, a box wrapped that said sin on it, one of sickness, you know, different things that represent the curse. So he comes walking into children's church with his devil costume on and those packages in, and the kids... Some of the kids literally thought the real devil had come to children's church that morning. And this one little guy, we had these metal chairs set up, you know, where they sit in. This one little guy, he gets up and he stands on his chair. And he points at this devil and says, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Well, there wasn't anything else. The skit was over. This kid preached the sermon, church is done. He got it. And so this guy had to just book it and get out of there. I mean, we had to let them understand that scripture works. And that little boy preached it that morning. And he thought, man, the real devil came to children's church. Well, it didn't always the real devil attacking us, but it certainly is his host. It's people that work for him. And so we need to understand what he's after and what our response needs to be. All right? Amen. Now, so he said... You endured, notice that, verse 32, you endured a great fight of afflictions after illumination come. But verse 35, let's just jump down there. He tells us, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great reward. In other words, don't let this get your faith. For you have need of patience or endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might or you would receive the promise. See, there's the way we're supposed to respond to this is don't cast your confidence away. Don't cast your faith away. Amen? But listen, just what does patience mean? Well, maybe you could use the word endurance. It just means stick with it. Right? Just stay with it until you come out and have the will of God in your life. Amen. See, I always tell people this, take the word that you learned and beat the devil over the head with it. But see, I think sometimes people think that maybe something's wrong with them or maybe they're not doing something right because, you know, they started believing something and then they got attacked in that area and they think, well, I must not be spiritual like Pastor. I must not have the faith like Pastor. I must not have it all together like Pastor. I sure wish you were right. about all those things you're saying, I got it all together and I have all the faith and, you know, everything. No, I have to do the same thing you have to do, see, with the Word of God. I have to fight the same way you have to fight. Now, you have to, and you know, you think that eventually the devil will realize he's not going to win, but he's persistent. Amen. And so you just stick with the Word you've learned. Look at Psalm 105. I want to go here because I think it's important that we see this. Anybody ever heard of a man named Joseph in the Bible I'm talking about? Joseph. You know, my name is actually, some of you don't know this, but my name is actually Joseph. Joseph. Anybody know that? Oh, more of you knew that than I thought. That's actually my first name. It was my father's name too, so they called me Mark. And so, anyway, so I got documents out there, Joseph Mark, Mark, J. Mark. I even get stuff out there, J. Mark Pearl Jr. I don't know where that came from, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. Now, Psalm 105, you there? Yeah. Look at this. Let me stop there just for a minute. I think I need to give you background before we read it, okay? How many remember that Joseph, as a young boy, had a dream, right? And he had a dream that he was going to be in leadership. Matter of fact, he had two of them, right? And it was from God. God gave it to him. And so, you know, I don't know if he did the wisest thing or not. I don't know that it's wise to tell your 11 brothers that I'm going to be over you. God has shown me. You're going to come bow down to me. That maybe not have been the best plan, but he did. And verse 17 says, Psalm 105, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with feathers. He was laid in iron, or literally the cross reference says his soul came into that iron. I mean, this got into his soul. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now, what does that mean? Well, listen, what that means is this. The word, the same word that got him in trouble. I mean, the word got him in trouble, didn't it? The word of the Lord got him in trouble. But that same word of the Lord got him out of trouble and got him promoted because he stuck to it. It tried him and he was found faithful, right? See, the word, the same word that will deliver you, it'll get you in trouble sometimes. You know, how many of you follow what I'm saying? You know, and so that word that he got was from God, but it got him thrown into the pit, didn't it? Then he ended up in prison. But eventually that word got him out of prison and he ended up in the palace. Well, I don't want that kind of trouble. Then you don't want the palace. Let me tell you, whether you stand on the word or not, the devil's going to try to kill, steal, and destroy you and put you in prison anyway. You better just might as well have the word and hang on to it and not cast away your confidence and say, devil, I'm not moving off of this word. I'm staying with the word. Hallelujah. I'm staying with what the word says. I don't care what it looks like. I'm staying with the word. And I'm coming out victorious. Amen? So you have to understand the devil will contest that. What is he after? Well, he's after your faith. See, I love this. Verse 19 again. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him. How many know our king? He sent and loosed us. Even the ruler of the people and let him go free. Hallelujah. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his substance. I mean, this is New Testament stuff, man. I mean, God's given us his house and his substance, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. To bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. The thing about God is God can do things so fast your head will swim. I mean, Joseph wakes up one morning, he's unkept, he's in the prison, and before the day is over, man, he is wearing fine clothing. He's got the nicest chariot, one of the nicest chariots, amen. He's cruising through the streets, man, in his BMW, high-end one. And they're saying, bow the knee. That morning, he was a prisoner. Before the day's over, he's second in command of the greatest nation on the planet. It's good to have. How many believe it was worth hanging on to the word of the Lord, right? See, sometimes we get these testings, and we, you got to remember, testing's just temporary. It's just, you know, I love what the Message Bible calls it, where the King James talks about these light afflictions in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. The Message Bible calls them small potatoes. Anybody got any small potatoes in your life right now? They look pretty big to me. Look like big old spuds to me. Well, compared to what God's got for you, they're just small potatoes. Hallelujah. God's got great victory for us all if we just do like the Bible says, cast not away our confidence. Don't cast our faith away. Amen. And don't tell me people don't do it. I've been in the ministry for over 40 years. I've pastored people for longer than some of you have been alive. I know we do. I know they do. You know, they, well, I was believing for this, Pastor, and it got worse. Well, just why'd you stop believing? Because it got worse. Well, that's called casting away your confidence, isn't it? Right? You gave up. Well, yeah, but I mean, I thought after 3 or 4 faith confessions, something would happen. Well, you know, see, you could confess something and you could just be parroting, right? I went in to pray for a guy, me and an elder, went in to pray for this guy, and he was in the hospital with a deadly disease. Went in to pray for him, and we got there. I'm telling you, he spoke the most faith about anybody I've ever went to pray for up to that point. But inside my heart, I knew he was just saying it because he knew that's what we wanted to hear. And I remember as we were walking out the hospital, the elder said, man, he's really God. I said, no, he don't. He's going to die. I wasn't saying that negative, confessing bad things over his life. I just knew he didn't believe any of it. See, you could say it and not believe it. The parent says stuff, right? I mean, you know, they'll say things, but that doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. You got to get this in you. You got to get this word down in here. Amen. You got to meditate on it instead of on all the other stuff. And get it down in here until it comes roaring out. Hallelujah. Like that song we sang this morning, there's a lion inside of me. How many know there is? The Holy Ghost is inside of you, right? How many have the Holy Ghost inside of you? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. There's a lion inside of you, praise God. See, we have to learn that when the devil comes, he's just after that illumination. He's trying to talk us out of that. I don't know how many people have, well, I thought that faith stuff worked, but, you know, so-and-so died and this one died and that one died. Well, really, let's just back up here a minute. Now, you don't know anything about why they died, do you? We don't, do we? We don't always know. I've just made up my mind a long time ago. The secret things belong to the Lord. And that which he shows me, it's for me to do it. And if he doesn't show me, it's none of my business. Is that right? And so I don't go there. Listen, maybe you can't do this, but you could if you wanted to. But I don't go there. I don't even go there. I don't care if I pray for 25 people and they all die the next day. I'll pray for 26 if they'll come up, the next one. I've just decided a long time ago, God's word's true. And you know, maybe we won't understand some things until we get to heaven, you know, but I'm going to stay on God's side. Amen. I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with his word. I'm going to believe what he said. Right? Even if it happens to me, I'll go to heaven saying, thank God I was believing. And like Brother Eddie said one time, if he was laying flat on his back, his toes pointing straight up in the air, amen, he'd at least enter into heaven saying, thank God I'm healed. Hallelujah. How many of God would rather see that? How many of Jesus would rather see you step through the portals of glory and say, thank God I'm healed? Than saying, boy, God let me down. I'll just stick with God. How about you? Amen. And, you know, I'm just this, I don't know how you're built, but I just figure fight it every way you can. I've had people say, well, should I do this and should that? Anything that's attacking it, do it. Unless the Lord leads you different. But always give God first place. Amen. Now, let's go over to... Oh, gosh, let me see here. We don't got a whole lot of time. But let's go over to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews. No, I'll tell you what. Let's go there. Let me look at it. Maybe I won't even read it. Let's see. Hebrews chapter 12. Go there. You don't mind if I look at some scripture this morning, do you? Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go there. And verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." He's talking about all these Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, you know, that by faith did things. And then you read, the Bible talks about that they went through some things. They went through some testings. They went through some trials. But God brought them all out, didn't he? He brought them out with victory. I mean, you know, Daniel went in the lion's den, didn't he? I mean, that could have been fun. And but he came out, right? And, you know, the three Hebrew children, you know, they went through the fire, you know. And you know, you read Hebrews, the last few verses in 11, it talks about the things they went through. But it says, but guess what? They didn't cast away their confidence. They didn't give up on their faith. It says, wherefore, verse 1, 12, chapter 12, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. So we got to endure sometimes. We just got to stick with it and stick it out and stick with the word. And while we're doing that, we got to be looking unto Jesus, because he's the author and finisher or developer of our faith. Amen. How many know Jesus authored our faith? And if you look to him, he'll develop it. You know, finisher, you know, like a finished carpenter. How many know a finished carpenter is the one that does the details? Isn't that right? So you don't want the guys that are up there roofing necessarily doing your kitchen cabinets, because they got too big of a hammer. You got to learn to use a smaller hammer. You don't use that big old claw hammer on those kitchen cabinets. See, so there's a finishing to it. Well, Jesus wants to finish our faith, but we got to look to him. How many know you? If the Bible tells us to look to Jesus, how many know that means we could look to something else? We could be looking at that, the testing or the trial, you know, that's come to, you know what it's come for. After illumination, he comes to steal it. Amen. We want to look to Jesus, right? Now notice what it says about him. It says this about him in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he looked beyond just the trouble. He looked to the outcome, right? Peter said it this way. He said, receive the end of your faith, the outcome of your faith. Go ahead and rejoice. You haven't seen Jesus, but you rejoice. How many, you know, most people that I know of haven't seen Jesus, but we sing about him and rejoice today. Because why? Because we believe. This wasn't a trick question. How many of y'all believe in Jesus? That's why we're here today, right? All right? All right, so the reason why we're here, the reason we're worshiping God, is because we're worshiping somebody we haven't even seen. So don't tell me you can't be joyful and thank God over something you haven't seen physically in your life yet. Sure you can. You can make the choice to do that. Maybe I don't see it, but I'm going to rejoice. I'm looking beyond this testing I'm going through right now. I'm looking to Jesus, and I'm looking at the joy that I'm going to have when this manifests. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. You know how you rejoice sometimes when things manifest. Oh, gosh, I remember, man, when checks have come in, we needed it badly, you know. Oh, man, hallelujah. There's some rejoicing going on. But how many know we can rejoice before the check comes? Hallelujah. All right. Now, notice it said in verse 3, this, it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary, the King James says, and faint in your minds. Or as some translations say, which is accurate too, get discouraged in your souls. In other words, you give up. If you know, how many, it's easy to get discouraged if you look at the wrong thing. Right? See, if you just look at the natural all the time, how many know you're going to be discouraged? See, to walk by faith is to be encouraged. To walk by sight is to be discouraged. And so you could choose, you know, how you're going to walk. It's up to you, right? It's up to you and me. We get to choose how we're going to walk. You can believe it's going to work out, or you can believe it's not going to work out. And I see people now, they believe it's going to work out until trouble comes, and they don't believe it's going to work out. I mean, that's the time you need to believe it's going to work out, right? When trouble comes. Because that's the devil trying to steal the word from you. Isn't that right? He's trying to take it from you. Look at Mark chapter 4. We're looking at some scripture. I wasn't planning on going to all these, but it's just kind of flowing that way, so we'll just do this. Mark chapter 4, go there. I think most of us are familiar with this one, Mark chapter 4. And Dawn, are you getting anything today? Yeah. I'm just talking about after illumination. After it comes, then you got to be on guard that you don't let the devil steal that away from you. And I'm not saying that, you know, every time you learn something new that the devil's going to come and try to take it away from you. I'm just, you know, and you're going to have all these heavy trials. No, we're victorious, but you got to be aware that there's times he comes to steal it. He comes to steal it. Mark chapter 4 tells us this, in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. How many know the word's the word of God? These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh after he wakes up, after his nap, the next day. Oh, a couple weeks he'll be by. What does it say? Now, what does that tell you if you jump on something immediately? It's pretty important to you, isn't it? Amen? I mean, if your garage catches on fire and your wife says, honey, the garage is on fire, you say, well, I'll be there in a little bit. I won't see the end of this game. I mean, most people, unless they're just really ignorant, don't operate that way. Amen. The game is now not important, is it? No. The garage is. Right. Come on, you with me? Yeah. You're going to immediately go put the fire out in the garage because that's pretty important. So this tells us when you hear the word, the devil comes immediately to try to steal it away. The first thing he uses is he tries to get you to doubt it. Well, that won't work for you. A pastor's just preaching. He's been preaching this for years. It never does work. Well, it does for some of us, or we quit preaching it. All right, so you let the devil steal it, see? And he says, Satan cometh immediately, verse 15, and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. In other words, they're not rejecting the word. They're happy about it. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. In other words, they don't have any staying power. They don't have any root. Their roots don't go very deep, so they can't withstand, you know, the sun when it comes out. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for what sake? For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Notice it doesn't say persecution and affliction comes to make you more like Jesus. No, I've seen people, persecution and affliction came to them, and they just looked ugly. They got bad. They got nasty. They got mean. But it comes for the word's sake. And immediately the King James says they're offended. I like that word. Some use the word stumble. That's fine too. But that's what happens. They get offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Has anybody got a clue that when you get a hold of the word, the devil's going to throw some things at you? Right? He tries to get you, number one, to doubt it. If you don't doubt it, then he'll try to get you discouraged with persecution and affliction. That doesn't work. He tries distractions to try to get the word out. But verse 20 says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and everybody say, receive it. And they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now the word receive it, in Luke 8, where Luke gives the account of this, he says they keep it. Everybody say, keep it. So it's important that when we get the word, we keep it. That we don't allow it to be stolen from us. Hey, remember what we're talking about now is after illumination. Satan comes to steal it out of our lives. See, if you hear about some truth in the Bible, whether it be divine healing or any other truth, you hear about that, you know this, that you may have to fight the good fight of faith. Right? Now, In Mark chapter 4, let's go down a few verses to verse 33, Mark 4:33. It says, and now Jesus has been teaching his disciples during the day here, and the multitudes during the day, he's been teaching them the word. And in verse 33, it says, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he spake not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples. How many would have liked to have been in that? Jesus expounding the word to you? You think that might have been good? All right. Notice verse 35, and the same day. Now, why am I emphasizing that? Because you're about to read that there's a storm coming. The same day after hearing all these good teachings, you would think the devil would leave him alone. But it said, and the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now listen now. This storm is a demonic-inspired storm. It's not from God. Because Jesus, we're going to read, Jesus gets up and rebukes it. So, this didn't come from God. What is this after? After they were illuminated, here came the devil to get the word out of their heart through fear. See? He's after this word. But here's the thing. Phyllis and I, we had a house one time, and it wasn't too far from, we've had more than one house, all right. We had a particular house one time, and it was near Patoka Lake. It wasn't too far from there. And it kind of set up on a hill. Well, not kind of, it did set up on a hill. We had a back porch on the back and porch swing. We'd just go out there and set. And we could always tell when it was raining at the lake because we'd see this stream of boats going by. Because we weren't on the highway, but it's kind of like we could see the highway from our porch. We could see it. We see these boats being pulled by. They were leaving the lake. So we know it's raining at the lake, you know, and all. And so I don't know about you, but I like good storms. I do. But I like to watch him from the inside, not from the outside. Now, this storm got inside the disciples, but it wasn't in Jesus. He was asleep. Amen. It's like a friend of mine, an evangelist friend of mine says, if you have to wake somebody up and ask them if they care, they probably don't. Or they'd be awake. See, Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He said, let us go cross over to the other side. He didn't say, let us go halfway out and sink. Did he? Is it in red in your Bible? Jesus said it. Guess where they're going? I don't care what kind of hell breaks out, they're going to the other side. Because the Jerusalem News is not going to read Son of God drowns in boating accident. It's not going to happen. Come on, are y'all with me? God has spoken some promises over us. He said, let's go to the other side. So we're going to go. All hell may break out in the middle, but we're going to get to the other side. As long as we don't cast away our confidence, we're going to the other side. It's up to us, though, not to cast away our confidence in the word he spoke. And so, you know, they're all, the storm's in the disciples, you know. And I preached years ago, I preached this series, like going through, I titled it, Going Through the Storm Without the Storm Going Through You. Going Through the Storm Without the Storm Going Through You. I wish I still had those cassette tapes. I'd like to hear it again, preach it again. I don't have the notes. We got them? We do. I didn't know that. Dig them out. I like to preach that again. Going through the storm. I remember a pastor in Texas said, man, that title is awesome. I said, yeah, if the message is as good, we've got something going here. You know, because we can literally go through storms without them going through us. You can't stop going through storms. Right? See, storms happen. Jesus stopped it, but it happened, right? Isn't that right? See, storms happen for different reasons. They happen because, how many of Jonah was in a storm? Because he was disobedient, right? Paul went through a storm because the other people wouldn't listen. Remember, he said, we shouldn't leave. They wouldn't listen to him. They end up in a storm. Thank God. God kept them, but they wouldn't have gone through it if they listened to Paul, right? How many know sometimes we go through storms because of other people in our life, right? Amen? You know, how many know there's demonic-inspired storms? This one was. Jesus rebuked it. There's storms that happen just because we live in a cursed, fallen earth. We just live, it's life. Fallen life, I should say. But God's got, he's got a way out. How many know if you're in storm because you're disobedient, how many know what you need to do? Repent. Concentrate. How many know if you're in a storm because of other people, how many know sometimes you just got to wait it out in faith? God's going to help you, right? How many know if you're going through a demonic-inspired storm, what do you do? Like Jesus did, rebuke it. Well, if you're going through a storm just because life's bad, stand on the Word. Stand on the Word. You'll come out. Amen. All right. Now let's finish reading this out. Come on, I know I've been reading a lot today. I hope you don't mind that, but the Bible's good, right? Look at this. Let's finish reading this out. Verse 439, and he arose, he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, listen, it's not a matter that they weren't in trouble. That's not why he's rebuking them. Because they were in trouble. But they were going to make it because he said it, right? See, they were commercial fishermen. They knew the boat was in trouble. But if Jesus said we're going to the other side, we're going to overcome this trouble, right? See, it's not like we're denying trouble. The trouble was there. But what Jesus rebuked them for, he says, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Why didn't you face your fear with faith? See, and being the disciples that they were, then they feared exceedingly. And said to man, under what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, he's quite a man, isn't he? All right. Now, can you give me just a little bit more time? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. And I know, like I said, we're looking at several scriptures today. But it's just the way it's coming out. 2 Thessalonians. Go there. Anybody ever had any storms? Anybody going through some right now? Yeah. Well, thank God you have a word. Amen. God's got a word for every storm. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is right or it's meet or it's fitting, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other, it abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God, for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, the word endure here actually means to hold up under. So Paul is saying, even though you're going through these persecutions, these tribulations, because of your endurance and your faith, you're holding up under it. You're not folding like a cheap chair. See, We gotta watch it that when trouble hits, we don't fold like a cheap chair. How many know we know what to do, right? Right? We've been taught what to do, right? And we need to, listen, here's one thing that I've learned over the years that I think is really important. Don't ever let the devil see you sweat. Don't do it. Don't let him see you down. Well, just don't do it. Don't give him the pleasure. Amen. You know, he swings at you. Says, that's the best you got? Come on. It's intimidating to him. Some of you may not believe this, but you just got to learn not to let him see you shaking. You know, just don't do it. Why? Here's why. Because the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't let him steal your joy. Paul said, I've learned not to count my life dear to myself. He said this in Acts 20, that I may finish my course with joy. He said, I know that there's afflictions and bonds waiting for me. When I go to these other cities, there's going to be afflictions and bonds waiting for me there. But he said, I don't count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my course with joy. I mean, if you lose your joy, you stop running your course. How many know it's a lot easier to read about exercise and proper diet than it is to do it? Matter of fact, sometimes it's kind of enjoyable to read about it and you have visions of what you're going to look like in 3 months. Those 3 months that I've been on, they've stressed out for years. I haven't given up. I'm just simply saying to you, see, what happens, though, here's what happens. You know, you can say, well, tomorrow I'm going to start eating more fruit and, you know, lean meat and vegetables, and I'm going to leave the ice cream alone and the sodas alone and the pizza and the Oreos. All those staples of life, I'm going to cut them off. And I'm going to start doing what's right. How many know that? You can get excited about that, can't you? Until when? Tomorrow. When tomorrow arrives. Oh, yeah. I'm great at starting diets. Now, I don't really do diets. I call it reductions. I don't like diets. It's got dye in it. Reductions. I'm good at starting them. I'm the best starter you ever met. I've got more experience than any of you. But you got to finish. How many know you got to finish? Right? You got to finish. So, see, what happens? You lose your joy. See, you lose your joy. So, you know, you can think about, well, I've seen people do it. I used to be a runner. I told Phyllis I'm going to start in again this week. I'm starting back in. Hallelujah. And, but I used to be a runner for years. And I'd see people, you know, oh, I want to run. And I even have taken them to the store, get their clothes, to get their shoes, you know, and all that and everything. Yeah, I'm going, oh, man, if you can do it, I can do it. Well, yeah, that's true. You got two legs. You can do it. You know, yeah, you can do it. And so, you know, I take them. And what happens is this. When reality hits, when they go for their first run, their very first run, and they can and when they're done, they can still turn around and unlock their car with their fob. That's how far they got. Fob still works. And they're, I'm going back to the car. Click. I mean, you lose your joy, right? See, this is what happens. The devil's after your joy. Now, finally, let's look at one more scripture, and we'll be done for today. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. Go there. So you can't fold like a cheap chair when trials hit. Just stay strong. That's a decision you have to make. I'm going to choose to believe the Word. Hallelujah. There was a surgeon in New York City. I was reading about him many years ago. And I loved his motto, man. He was not a quitter. You know, he was a brain tumor surgeon. His name was Fred Epstein. And he specialized in children, you know, and what would happen was these brain tumors would get wrapped around the kid's spinal column, you know, and the doctors, just normal doctors, wouldn't touch it. They just, because they just separating it, the tumor from the column most likely would kill the child, and naturally they didn't want to kill them on the operating table. You could understand that. I mean, these guys make good money for a good reason, and from what they do. And so, you know, but Fred Epstein, I loved his spirit about him. I was reading this article about him. He said this. He said, here's my motto. I don't accept children dying. I don't accept that. He said, send them to me. And he had developed a technique and a process with a vibrating thing that he used that would kind of separate that tumor from the brain stem and all. And there were kids that they sent home to die, and they got him to Mr. Epstein, and he did surgery on him, and now they're 16 years old playing the violin, still living, you know. Because he went in there, he did. I loved his spirit. We got to have that same kind of spirit. That's a spirit of excellence about us. We're not quitting. I'm going to fight this through in faith all the way through. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, you get a doctor like that on your side, you got God on your side. Hallelujah. You got something going, man. Amen. Now, look at this. And we'll close here, Isaiah 54, verse 17. The Bible says, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, but every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is our heritage, guys. The heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now notice, he didn't say there wouldn't be a weapon formed against you. He just said it wouldn't prosper. Now, I've learned this. Our faith has something to do with this. You cannot take this attitude about you that, you know, that it's all up to God. You know, you have to have some faith about you. You have to do some believing, some trusting. Amen. I don't know how many people I've prayed for over the years, and I've learned this. Now, you know, if I get them when they say, just whatever the will of God is. Whatever the will of God is. No, you have to find out what the will of God is. That's what the Bible talks about, praying the prayer of what? Well, how does faith come by? And hearing by what? So you would have to have the word to have the faith, amen? And so it's like, you need to go find out what God said and fight with that. Don't just say, if the Lord wants me to have these finances, then I'll have them. If he doesn't, then I just won't. No. It's not all up to him. He wants you blessed. If it's all up to him, we'd all be blessed. Matter of fact, if it's all up to him, everybody in Evansville will be saved this morning, be in the house of the Lord. But we have something to do with it, see? So you have to fight the good fight of faith. And don't cast away your confidence. Did you learn something today? Well, I know we looked at a lot of scriptures, but I tell you what, when you realize what's going on, you know, it can help you to stabilize you and realize, no, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just the devil trying to, he's after the illumination I got. He's after that. Just don't let him have it. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.